And right. So, Beautiful. Rosh Hashanah, and now we're up to Rosh Hashanah. So, without further ado, let's start, talking the Gemara. So, when it came to Rosh Hashanah, right, we focused on certain parameters that can make it Rosh Hashanah. Right? Then remember what our three main criteria were, or three main ways of evaluating Rosh Hashanah.
We said, if it's big enough for 600,000 people, if it has 600,000 people,
people in that city, whether it was designed for that or whether it's owned by nobody.
Right. So those this idea, on the one hand, how much is that a design a feature? Right. It's built, with X parameters, either structurally or it's meant for. How much is it? What people actually do? Oh, they're I see the rest of you guys. by the way, just turned from Rosh Hashanah Yachid into Rosh Hashanah Rabin. How much is it practically that there are actual people, right? If it's a conference room, but there's no one conference, there's no conference going on. There's only two people, right? Is it really, has a din of a conference room? Are you guys just froze? Is that okay? What happened? Did I freeze or you freeze? This is not good. Oh. Yeah, you guys just froze. Is that my fault or your fault?
We're not sure. It's unclear.
Okay. Anyway, so if you have a conference room, but there's no, there are only two people in it and there's no conferencing going on, is it a conference room? Or, structured that way, it's built that way, it's got a big table with lots of chairs. Do you need people to be there? Or does it need to be a place that, just totally... is open to the public where everyone can come and do as they will. Okay, so moving back to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Rabin, we were talking about how our parameters, might be, is it just open to the public, right? Anyone can come. Is a Rosh Hashanah that's open to the Rabin? It's a Rosh Hashanah where the Rabin are, or it's an area designed for the use of the Rabin, right? It has a certain structure. It's not necessarily going to be dependent on the practical reality of how it ended up being used, right? If it's a road, but no one drives on it, right? Is that Rosh Hashanah Rabin? Or no, because it's, no one drives on it, right? It's abandoned. It's the middle of nowhere. Much like you have a paved street, like the bridge to nowhere in Alaska. I think that's a great example. The bridge to nowhere in Alaska. It goes nowhere, right? On the other hand, it's a bridge, right? And it's big, and it's a highway. So, is that going to be a Rosh Hashanah Rabin? Right? On the one hand, physically it's a sratia. Practically, there's no rabin there, and maybe in terms of the Rambam Shita about accessibility, everywhere that's accessible is Rosh Hashanah Rabin, right? So, though, just bearing those three hadaros in mind, one of the things we want to know is how relevant are those to our definition of Rosh Hashanah Hayachid, right? In theory, I can tell you Rosh Hashanah Hayachid is going to follow the exact same system of Rosh Hashanah Rabin, right? So Rosh Hashanah Hayachid is in parallel would be a place with a certain structure, as opposed to the structure of Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So, right, let's say Rosh Hashanah Rabin is Tesai Nama and Mefulash, so Rosh Hashanah Hayachid is all enclosed, right, and it's smaller. It's something like that. If it's functional, then maybe right. Rosh Hashanah Yachid is a place that, is not something that somewhere where the public is found, or can be found even, or if in terms of accessibility, right? Maybe it's the fact if it's private property and it's gated off, then that's exactly what makes Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay, so all those bring us the question of, do we want to say that Rosh Hashanah Yachid is going to be defined in parallel to Rosh Hashanah Rabin, or right, maybe, right, Rosh Hashanah Rabin has one definition, Rosh Hashanah Yachid has a different definition. They're not necessarily going to be working on the exact same wavelength, okay? Now, if that's true, one of the things that we could suggest is that really, Rosh Hashanah aren't so binary. But you could think that, okay, either something's Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Rabin, and I guess there are things that are neither. Or, there is something called Rosh Hashanah Rabin. There is something called Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The default, though, is nothing, right? There are two separate positive definitions for Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and that anything that doesn't falls in this default area, which is going to be fine. All right. But that then says, okay, is Hotzah, you know, something that by default, everything's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, by default, everything should be Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or by default, everything should be neither, and you need some very special, powerful, defining features in order to create a rishus, which will then create a problem of hotzah in Shabbos. Okay, so that's part of our, you know, part of this question is, you know, are these two totally different wavelengths, and by default everything's nothing? Yeah, and you need to really prove your chops as a rishus in order to be a rishus, or no, right? Really, things by default are, you know, either Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and just because that's true doesn't mean that, you know, you can't have things that fall in between. Okay? Fine. So are they really a spectrum, or are they really two separate things? Okay, now, leaving that sort of on one side, we're going to go and look at, you know, how do we define Rosh Hashanah Yachid? What makes Rosh Hashanah Yachid Rosh Hashanah Yachid? And on that basis, hopefully we'll come back and readdress this relationship to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay. So, right, in our Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Arba Rosh Hashanah L'Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, V'Karmelis, U'Makom Ptur. V'Izuhu Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay, first side comment. Right, how do we, what do we start the list off of? Right, we start the list with Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Right, how else could you have started the list? Right, with Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Right, why not start with Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Why start with Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Someone's waving. Someone is like waving there.
Hi, I'm here. Arya's here. I just wanted to say hi.
Oh, hi. I can't see you. I saw your hand, though, so I can't.
There's a
question. Is it Yado Basar Gufo Garir or, you know, Gufo Basar Yado Garir? I ain't showing back on that. Right, so it starts off with Rosh Hashanah Yachid, right? It could be that that's, you know, that's significant, right? Maybe, right, our default Rosh Hashanah, like, oh, the real Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Right, and then you know, and if not, then maybe it's Rosh Hashanah. Okay, anyway, so what is Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Acharis shehu amok asara v'rachav arba, v'chin geder shehu gavoa asara v'rachav arba, zuhi Rosh Hashanah Yachid gemura. Okay, what's a geder? Says Rashi, it's a kotel. Right, shehu gavoa asara v'rachav arba, heavy Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It's basically a big wall, and the top of the wall is 4x4, so it's something that's high and is 4x4. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch, I'm just going to kind of skip to the chase. It says, "Ezehu Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Makom Hamukaf Mechitzos, Gavah Asar Tvachim, Biyesh Vadal Tvachim, Vadal Tvachim Yoser, V'chein Charetz Amok Asara, V'rachav Arba Al Arba." V'chein Tel, Shul Gavah Asara, V'rachav Arba Al Arba. The Shulchan Aruch says, what's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid? It's an area that's surrounded by walls, that's 10 Tvachim high. And also a charet, and also a, you know, a mound that has the requisite shear. Okay? Now if you, the gra says, oh, right, makom, hasha b'kam makomos, v'ikara b'brais hasham geder, delo kipir shrashi sham. Now, why on earth is this, why is it delo kipir shrashi? Yeah.
Because Rashi said it was like the kotel itself and not the like space inside it.
Exactly. Right? Rashi says that it's the default, the prime example given in the Gemara, in the Braisa, is of the top of the wall. Right? It's an area that's, you know, that's like on a pedestal. As opposed to the Shulchan Aruch, who's saying what?
It could be surrounded by walls.
Right. Not even that it could. Right? By definition, it is surrounded by walls. Right? And the Gra says, oh, right, this is correct, right? Really, it needs to be surrounded by walls. And Rashi is, you know, Rashi's kind of wrong. Right? Now, what's fascinating about this is already, at the end of the day, everyone agrees that a tel, gavo asara, is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, right? It's mufia everywhere in the Gemara, right? It's something 10 tefachim high, you know, that with steep, you know, a steep slope that's 10 tefachim high and 4x4. Is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, right? But our question is, well, what defines it as Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Right? The Gra and the Shulchan Aruch are saying what? What defines something as Rosh Hashanah Yachid is really that it's mukaf mechitzos, that it's surrounded by walls, that it's walled off, right? As opposed to something that's high or a ditch, which on the one hand is distinct, but it's not walled off. Okay, And now, in a few minutes, we're going to try to discuss like why that should matter. But just a priori, like, what do you guys think? Why would you say like, oh, mukaf mechitzos versus something that's gavoa asara?
Mugav Mechito like resembles like a residence or like a private home or something like that. Whereas like the Eser Tvachim or whatever is just like a separation. Mm. It's not really a new area. It's just away from the other area.
Very good. Geschmack. Right? When I wall something off, it's dead on. Right? If I wall it off, so what I've said is this area, right, is private. This area is distinct. Right, it has its own, private definition, its own private identity, right? However, it may decide to identify as opposed to a tail, right? Which is not saying, "Oh, I'm a Rosh Hashayachid," right? What's it doing? It's simply something that's offset from the Rosh Hasharabim, let's say, right? It's something that's inaccessible or less accessible. It doesn't necessarily have a positive identity, right? It's not being separated off for some specific person. It's just inaccessible and inconvenient to get to from the Rosh Hasharabim. Okay? And I think that Hakira, right, is Rosh Hashayachid something that, is a private domain, or is it a domain that is separate from the public? Right? That exactly is going to be, the key Hakira in defining Rosh Hashayachid. Okay? Is it, what Ari was saying, oh, maybe it's taking it to like already, sort of like, or almost like a why is that it's already dome to a house, right? You want to say, what's the avi avos of Rosh Hashayachid, right? That's a house, right? There's nothing more, a man's house is his castle, right? Can't get more, more private than that. On the other hand, right, the tail is just a way of saying, oh, well, here's Rosh Hashanah, and here's an area that's clearly offset and inaccessible, right? So just to put that all on the board.
We're back.
Don't worry, you didn't miss. I noticed you guys were staring blankly at me. I'm a little affected when I.
Two years ago.
Malcolm Nifrad. Right? Or is it mukaf? Now, within these two options, you can explain it in different ways. Right? One way is to say it's mukaf mechitzos, right? Because, as we say in Israel, kan ze bayit, kan ze lev. You guys know that song?
Yeah.
Right? Kan ze bayit, kan ze lev. So it's mamish. Rosh Hashayachid kanza bayis kanza leiv, right? Right. Let's do the last thing. Right, it's not much like a house. On the other hand, right, we could say that it's less extreme. It's not that it has to be a house, right? Let's say it's surrounded by walls, but it's in the middle of nowhere, right? But perhaps the being mukaf by mechitzos makes it, right, something that's not open to the public, right? If a midbar is totally open to everybody, right? So a place that's inconvenient to access, let's say maybe is a karmelist, right? But if it's got walls around it and a big do not enter sign, that already says, this is not public, right? Something that's, marked private. And closed to the public. Okay, so that's one thing. Now, within Makom Nifrad, hold on one sec. Right? Within Makom Nifrad, saying it's a different place, how much, how much do we need it to be Nifrad? Does Makom Nifrad mean, this is it's just a totally different area? Right, it's like it's a different makom, and then it exists by itself, right? But it's almost like a default, like any time you have an area that exists, you know, totally detached from Rosh HaSarabim, you know, that's going to be Rosh HaSayafid. Or are we saying that Rosh HaSarabim is Rosh HaSarabim, right? And anywhere which somehow keeps the Rabim out is a Rosh HaS, is going to be Rosh HaSayafid, okay? The difference between those is one's like a definition of makom, because this is its own makom, right? Memela, if it's not Rosh HaSayafid, then it's Rosh HaSarabim. Under Rosh HaSarabim, then it's Rosh HaSayafid. Okay? That assumes that the spectrum of Rishuyos is either really should be Rosh HaSarabim or it's automatically Rosh HaSayachid, unless you have some sort of mixed bag of criteria. Or I can tell you that it's not a din, not that, oh, it's a makom benifrad, but that it's inherently, right, inaccessible to the rabbin. Pushes off the rabbin, okay? Inaccessible. It's going to be the exact opposite of Midbar. The opposite of Yes. And the mighty game.
Hello. So if we apply this to Hotsam more broadly, maybe, and I mean literally maybe, not like for sure, but maybe we could say that the problem, why is Hotsah problematic? Because you're moving from an object from a Shudiyachid to a Shurabim. I think if we apply the lower barrier, right, just the 10th Tefachim off the ground, then we could say the problem is moving a Chefetz from the Rishut HaYachid to the Shurabim.
You just paused. You're frozen. No. Come back. One second. We're going to... How many times? Bring them back.
Nothing made any sense. And he's frozen. No, he's not frozen.
Okay, now you guys are unfrozen. How many times wasn't frozen? So your fault, not us.
I think it's our fault. Yeah,
I think it's us.
Okay, start again from the beginning. Right? If it's a day...
If it's the lower barrier of what it means to be Rishud Yachid, then moving the object from that Rishud Yachid to Rishud Rabim is problematic because the object has undergone a change. It has gone from Rishud Yachid to Rishud Rabim, but it's this very low barrier. But if you have a much higher barrier for what it means to be Rishud Yachid, if you have to surround it by walls, then there's a much more conscious, there's much more of a conscious element to it when you're bringing it from your Rishud Yachid outwards. There's much more of a separation, and therefore the problem is more... in that it's tied up with yourself and not necessarily the object.
Okay, I mean, like let's say the transfer in, okay, what's that? You'd say Dafka more tied up into the Gabra. Okay, I wouldn't necessarily connect it to like whether it's tied into you or not, but I would agree that if it's only a question of the 10 Tefachim, you guys froze again. It's terrible.
It's the hill okay. Wi-Fi.
If it's only a din in the Rosh HaYachid, sorry, if it's only like 10 Tefachim, it's just like, oh, somewhere that's offset, then say, yeah, it's a little bit more about the fact that, okay, you moved the object, right? So I need to say that it moves from place A to place B, right? Or even Dalet Amos in Rosh HaSarabim, right? But fundamentally, the fact that I'm moving the object is the problem, and I need a way to define that it moved somewhere significant.
Yeah.
As opposed to if it's Mukov Mechitzos, then I can say that, you know, something either very, you know, transformative happened, something creative happened, or even if you go so far as say that it's like genuinely creative, you could say it's like, you know, really, really constructive. You know, you're taking something from the private domain and you're bringing it to the public domain. You're, you know, brought it out for, you know, it's almost like a commercial activity. You know, that it's from your warehouse and now it's in the streets. Right? Now it's in the market. Yeah, so I do agree that you know how much you think it's like a something that's totally different, you know, that's like there's this radically different. There's like a walls and it's, you know, it's inside those walls and now it's like roaming free. Definitely implies there's a more significant transformation going on in Hotsah. Okay, very good. So let's see, you know, in the Makoros, really how this plays out. Okay, was I can just makom nifrad inaccessible to the public, or right, it's like just Rishus HaRabim. It's a Rishus Mufrad from Rishus HaRabim, meaning it's a, right, a Rishus that it happens to be the opposite of Rishus HaRabim. Right, it doesn't necessarily have a positive identity in and of itself, as much as, not that, oh, it's inaccessible to the Rabbim, right? It's just a way of saying, oh, this is an area that exists independent, that's a real Rishus, but it's not Rishus HaRabim, right? So you're taking it out of the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, but in which case the default is going to be Rishus HaRabim, right? Like anti Rishus HaRabim. Or like a negation. Okay. Let's see in the Koros really how this plays out. Okay, so definitely, first of all, just right off the bat, sorry, we just on that, ready? Right, Rashi, at least the one we have here, says, you know, Geder Kotel, right? The paradigm of Rishus HaRabim is something that's just offset, as opposed to the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra, who say, no, it's clearly a Mako Mukaf Mechitzas, right? So this we'll say is Shulchan Aruch, Gra, right here we'll put Rashi.Vav. Okay. The She'iltos of Rav Chaigon, so he replaces Geder with Tel Shegavo Asar. Okay, totally like what Rashi has. Just even in the Lashon of the Brisa, he doesn't have that it's a wall, right? It's not a wall. It's a bump of dirt or whatever, or stone that has the requisite requirements. And the other extreme, right, the Ritva says, you know, Ezehu Rishus HaYachid, Char Shu Gavah Asar V'Rachav Arba, V'chein Geder Shu Gavah Asar V'Rachav Arba, Perush Afilu Keiko Unzeh, why does the Braisa tell me these cases? Why doesn't it go straight to something that's Mukaf Mechitzos? The Chiddush is, it wants to tell you that even these things are considered Ki'ilu Hu Bayis, right? Exactly like Ari was saying. It's like a bias shishol adal dal with a mukaf mechitzos gemuros kavos asara v'hachin gemirila. Right, so the Ritva says, yeah, you know, it's a house, right? A real rishus hayachid is a house. You're moving from your house to out of your house to the rishus harabim, and then the a definition is, you know, that anything with these physical characteristics is going to be considered a house. Aye, but it's not a house. It's just a big pile of dirt. Okay, but technically it has, you know, four walls. It's mukaf mechitzos because of gadasik. So, you know, it has imaginary walls. But technically it's pretending to be a house. Rashi on davavam beis. Kamash malon gemura. Kolomar zuhi shenigmaru minyan mechitzos shala. Sheyesh la mechitzos mikol tzad. So Rashi here comes down very strongly on the side that the Gra claims Rashi doesn't think. Right? What's the definition of Rishus HaYachid? It's something that has mechitzos mikol tzad on every side. Kigon charetz v'chein geder damino me'arbat tzadim goras ipnei mechitza al rosho v'nimtza rosho mukaf me'arbat tzadim. Right? The Rashi on Davav and Bet makes it very clear that what he really thinks is that in a chanami, a tail, a bump of dirt, is going to be a Rishus HaYachid, but that's only because it's considered as if it was Mukaf Arba Mechitzos. Okay? And the Shulchan Migash says something similar, right? Kol Makom Sheyesh Bo Dalet Al Dalet, Shehu Shir Makom. Okay? V'gam Yesh Lo Dalet Mechitzos Shegvam Yud Kimo Charetz V'Kayotze Bo. O Shehu Asik Bo Yud Kimo Geder V'Amod V'Kayotze Behen. Ikal Meimar Kud Asik Mechitzos Shehen Hein Rishus HaYachid. Okay? So basically, anywhere you could say that we'll imagine walls, we will treat it as if there are walls. Okay, Rashi and Migash, Rashi Bava and Mephiz, and Migash, they all say that it's about being Mukaf Mechitzos. Okay, however, look at the following Gemara. Gufa Amar of Gidol Amarav, Amar of Chiyah by Yosef Amarav, Baish Tocho Asara. Let's say you had a house, and that house is less than 10 tfachim high. Okay? V'kivruyo mashlima la'asara, and its roof, like the thickness of the planks of the roof, get it to be 10 tfachim high. So al gago motel talta bakulo on the roof is a rishus ha yachid because it's 10 tefachim off the ground. Betocho in metalton bo el barba amos, right inside the house is going to be a caramelist because it's not 10 tefachim high. And therefore, you can only be metalto ba arba amos. Amar abaya im shakak bo arba alba al arba dishlima la asara muter metalto bakula. If you're mashlim, if you dug a hole in the middle of the house, okay, and that house now has dalid al dalid, which is 10 deep, then it's going to be rishus hayachid. My time, I have yichor rishus hayachid, v'chor rishus hayachid. Okay, so you have this house. Can everyone picture that? Everyone pop the picture, or should I draw it on the board? A hot tub. What?
It's a hot tub.
We got it.
Yeah, it's basically right. Like, exactly. It's like a hot tub with a cover on.
We made some nice back of the plate drawers.
It's not 10 tefachim, and in the middle it is 10 tefachim. Okay, what's the problem? So the Gemara in Sukkah has the exact same thing, basically. Except... The ditch, what you're digging down, has to be within three tvachim of the walls. Because otherwise, you don't have a vertical wall of 10 tvachim. Right? Well, why don't we have that same issue on Shabbos?
Because our concern isn't to hold up the schach at a height of 10 tefachim.
No, but the schach, I mean, the schach's there, hovering up there either way. The schach's at 10 tefachim high, right? It just, the edge of the of what you dug down is more than 3 tefachim away from the walls that are, let's say, 8 tefachim.
Right, so oh, the edge? Oh, because of leaven. But,
right. So therefore, it's as if you have just one straight wall, if it's within Gimel Tvachim. So Tosos asks the question. He says, I don't get it. By Shabbos, we don't care if it's within Lavud. We just care that the space is Dalet al Dalet and 10 high. I don't care, you know, about the makeup of the walls, right? Ki hai gavna, im yesh misfas hachakak lekoso shlosha tvachim, yesh lomar delo dami rishos Shabbos shehu limnoa regel rabim lesukka. Right? Says Tosfos, why don't I need by Shabbos the walls to be within Gimel Tvachim so I actually have 10 Tvachim walls? Because I don't need walls. Right? By Shabbos, Yishomar, Delo Dami Rosh Shabbos, Shehu Limnoa Regel Rabim, Lesukah, Debinan Mechitzo, Smuchos, Leschach. By a Sukkah, I need walls. It's that. Tell Tosfos, a sukkah ze bayit ze lev. Shabbos, you're not trying to build a house, says Tosfos. What are you trying to do? You're trying to keep the riffraff out. You're trying to keep the community from, you know, trampling over your Shabbos table. You want to keep the people out, right? You know, we're not really building, we don't even want to build a wall. We want to build a barrier, right? A border barrier. It's going to be huge, but it doesn't have to be 10 tefachim high, right? I mean, the barrier needs to be 10 tefachim high, but the wall doesn't need to be 10 tefachim high. Okay, and just going to go through the Rajba and the Miri as well. Right, the Miri here, the Rajba says as well, right? Le'inyan Shabbos in hakpada b'mechitzos mamish. You don't really need walls. Shiu machshiros es hachakak. What you really need is to make sure that the right to have a barrier that prevents the rabbim from flooding in. And the walls, which are really only important, klapei chutz. Right? They're barriers on the outside protecting the inside. The shomros also mi bachot, lo chai shinan, bein chayu al sfas hachakak, bein chayu miruchakos mi menu kama. The yesh mi shatire it's tahacha b'sheyesh asara. Okay, that's the, that's what he says. Oh, and someone says, yeah, maybe it is within Gimel. You didn't say that. Okay, fine, but whatever. Right? Also the Mi'iri. He says, wait a second. I don't get it. In general, we have a case in Sukkah where you have a 20 amma high sukkah, which is possible. Then you build a platform in the middle, which is, let's say, 10 tefachim high. Okay? So we say that that's possible. Why? You can't say good asik, right? You can't say that we imagine that there are walls unless there are clearly envisioned walls, right? Your mind eye has to be able to see the walls. It's a side point. I don't get it. Right? When it comes to Shabbos, we say that, right, what did the Rimigash say? Why do you chayiv if it's a 10 tefach tall pile of dirt? Because we say godaches, right? We say, oh, it's 10 tefachim high. So we imagine that there are walls that are going up, right? You have this, you know, you have this big 10 by 10 square, and we imagine that the sides of the flat sides of the square just like continue upwards as walls. Okay, if that's true though, alma lo b'inan b'chitzos nikaros, and we do say godasek. So why by sukkah don't we say it? V'ezu shayla shavizu ein at I atot zarech balu alugur asik adchut is zarech balu mechitzos nikaros shein hatam el v'bnei shekol shegavah asar barachav arba eino tash meshal b'nei rishus harabim v'dino kershusayachin af below mechitzos. This is even more extreme than the other than Tosus and the Rashba. Tosus and the Rashba said you need mechitzos ha. Mafsikos and not mechitzos ha makifos, right? You need a barrier. You don't need a wall. Says the Meiri, I don't really need either of those, right? I just need something that's offset from the Rishus HaRabim, right? Af below mechitzos, even if there are no mechitzos at all. Al besukos on mechitzos on mitzvichim, right? A sukkah is supposed to be a house, okay? So putting that all those shitos down, so Tosos. And one second, let's just get this right. Let's go on debating a little bit about the Meiri. Actually, we'll talk about that in a second. Okay, yeah. So I think it's like two branches, right? Tosfos and the Rashba, right? You need barriers of 10, right? But don't need walls. Okay? And the Meiri goes even further and says, I don't even need barriers of 10. All right, I just need something that makes it a place that is not Makom Shimush HaRabim. Right? I don't even hear the Tosfos and the Rashba say, oh, I need some sort of barrier, you know, that defends our borders, right? Can't let our leave our, you know, we have to build the wall and it's got to be huge, right? Because mainly, I don't really care, you know, how you do it. I just need it to be offset from Rishus HaRabim. If it's not Tashmish Rishus HaRabim, right, if the Rabim can't use it, I don't really care why. I don't need walls. If it's 10 tefachim high, even if it has no walls, that's totally fine, right? I mean, Tosfos and the Rashba would say, even if you don't say good asik, you have walls, right? They're just walls, only klapei chutz, right? You have outside walls, but no inside walls. Says the Meiri, I don't need any walls. Yeah.
Yeah, I just want that.
I just keep the rabbi down. Right? Barriers of 10, again, that defend against invasion by the rabbi. right? And I think the big nafkamina is how much are we saying, oh, right, there's a defense system involved, you know, that's put up that's going to protect us against the rabbin, right? There's a wall that's going to be huge. Or it's not something of, it's not something that's actually, you know, someone put up a defense measure, right? As long as practically, right, it's something that's offset and not, you know, not accessible to the rabbin, and it's not Tashmish Rabbin, right? Not Tashmish Rabbin. Yeah. Yeah.
So Ari and I read the Meiri as saying that you didn't even need the 10 tefach height difference. Meaning if I was standing in a field and I surrounded myself with landmines, like, that's a reshut yachid, because the rabbim can't get there.
Right. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, the Meiri will be modeh that practically, right, you need some sort of formal, you know, formal shear to that. Right? So something needs to be 10 tefachim. Right? Maybe the, like, danger landmine sign has to be, like, 10 tefachim, you know? At the end of the day, the Meiri will be modeh that you need something that's 10 by 4 by 4, right? But what the Meiri is saying is that it doesn't have to be that at any point there's, you know, that thing that's 10 by 4 by 4 doesn't have to be a mechitza klapei chutz, right? It doesn't have to be, it just has to be something that's offset because it's 10 by 4 by 4. You guys froze again. Freezing. That's very contemplating, right? Contemplation is very important. Okay. Right. Does these guys, you know, just on the, in terms of this side, by the way, right, these guys probably fall closer to here than to here. Just a side point. Like, for example, the Rimagash sounds more like this, right? As long as you could say good asik, so it has walls. Right? The Ritzvah says that it's got to be like a house. Right? The Rimagash says it has to, it needs walls. So anything that I can give walls is going to be good enough. Okay. Let's continue. What does the Rambam think? Right? There's like a famous song, right? What does the Rambam say? Vahasheni. Okay, first of all, there's a side point, right? What's, right, when the Rambam is telling you Rosh Yos, he starts with, Arba Rosh Yos L'Shabbos, Rosh Yos Hayachid, Rosh Yos Harabim, Karmas Makam Tor, Izuhi Rosh Yos Harabim. Right? The Rambam switches the order from the Braisa.
Oh.
Right? The Rambam says, it's, you know, Izuhi Rosh Yos Harabim, Midbaros V'yar Mushvakim U'drachim Mufulashim Lahen, Ubevachi Rocha V'derech Tezainama, V'luya Alev Tikra, V'izu Rosh Yos Hayachid. What's Rosh Yos Hayachid? A tale should have asar tvachim, barachav arba tvachim, arba tvachim, o yes, al kain, v'chein charshu amok asara, v'chein makom shu mukav mechitzos, right? The third, you know, like the, oh, and also, by the way, you know, option number three is you could also be makom mechitzos if you wanted, right? What's, compare that to the Shulchan Aruch, what does the Shulchan Aruch do? Or the, and the tour, right? Prior to the Shulchan Aruch also, he switches the order, right? The Shulchan Aruch says, and the tour says, what's Rosh Hashanah? The Torah says, what is a Rosh Hashayachid? Right, he starts with Rosh Hashayachid and Rosh Hashrabim. And he says, a Rosh Hashayachid is a Mako Mukav Mechitzos. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says, oh, it's a Mako Mukav Mechitzos. And in a Hanami, right, the Charetz and the Geder are also going to be included because of Gedasek. Right? The Rambam says, right, no, it's the fact that it's Dalet al-Dalet. Right? A Mako Mukav Arba Mechitzos as well. Right, but it's anything that what? If we compare it to what we said by Rosh Hasharabim, or Rosh Hasharabim is anywhere that's open to the public, right? Freely accessible. Okay. And if something is offset from the Rosh Hasharabim, what's Rosh Hasharabim? A tel shugabal asar tvachim, barachav arba tvachim, arba tvachim. Right? It's something that's not easily accessible by the rabbim. It's not open and easily and freely accessible, right? It's offset from the Rosh Hasharabim. Right? Okay, let's look back at the parashah Mishnayis. Hasheni hu Rosh Hashayachid. What's a Rosh Hashayachid? Hu hamakom she'ein harabim bokim bo. Right? It's a place where the rabbim don't go. Rosh Hashanah is the place where the rabbim can go. Right? And Rosh Hashanah is a place where the rabbim don't go. V'shiru hu shegavo asaretz vachim. How do you define Rosh Hashanah according to the Rambam? It's the absence, it's essentially the absence of Rosh Hashanah. Right? According to the Rambam, it's almost that, it's not just that it's, you know, it's the opposite of the Midbar. Here, it's a little bit different than this, I would say. Because for the Rambam, for me, let's say, maybe it's like the Miyu. Okay? But for Tosus and the Rajba, it's about having barriers, right, of 10, that defend against invasion by the Rabbin. It's guarded against the Rabbin. Right? It's a defense mechanism. It's defended against, you know, invasion from southerly nation. On the other hand, right, the Me'iri definitely says, oh, right, it's something that's just offset from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It doesn't really need Mechitos. I think the Rambam would say that as well, because in the Perash of Mishnayos, how did he define it? Right? It's something which in Harabim Bokimba, it's a place which is not open, which is not accessible to the public. By default, anywhere that's open to the public is Rosh Hashanah, says the Rambam. Right? The default Rosh Hashanah is Uhi Rosh Hashanah. After I tell you what Rosh Hashanah is, I can tell you that its negation is Rosh Hashanah. Right? But here, I would say that that's exactly what I think the Rambam is saying. Right? You could, the difference between this side and this is very, is a little bit hazy. You could really just shift the Miri into here, or the Rambam over here. Not, you know, the line between these isn't so clear. But what the Rambam saying is, what's Rosh Hashanah? Right? It's a makom she'im podrisis, she'im sham drisis harabim, which is, I'm going to look at the Lashon again. Right? Just so, it's very strange, right? The first Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because you can't define Rosh Hashanah Yachid without telling me, right? What you can't say, oh, it's the negation of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which I'm going to tell you later. Who makom she'in harabim bokim bo? Right? It's a place where the rabbim don't go, and if the rabbim don't go there, then it's simply not going to be a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Okay, so for the Rambam, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is all about the accessibility to the public, and the Rosh Hashanah Yachid is a place, is its negation. It's a place that's not accessible to the public for whatever reason, right? Whether that reason is because it's, you know, it's mukaf mechitzos, or because it's high or it's low. And okay, now here's my question: how can the Rambam have anything other than Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim then, right? I mean, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Gra, Rashi, the Rimigash, then all of them, I'd say, well, something that's Mukaf Mechitzos is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, okay? Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has its own criteria, right? One is a house, right? Rosh Hashanah Yachid is a house. The public domain is the Strate Oplatya. Everything else falls in between, right? It's neither, right? However, according to let's say Tosus and the Rajba, again, there's a place that's the public area where the Rabbim are Matsui, and there are places which are defended against the incursions of the Rabbim. Right? Doesn't necessarily need walls, right? It doesn't need book of Arba Mechitzos, but it needs to be defended against incursions by the Rabbim. So if it isn't something that somebody, you know, defended against, or even if it's naturally defended against incursions of the Rabbim, so then it's open territory, right? But according to the Rambam, where we define Rosh Hashanah Yachid as the negation of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, right? What is it? It's the place where in Harabim Bokim Bo. So then how can you have like a Karmelis, right? Over here for the Ritva and Rashi and the Rimigash, so it didn't need Mukav Arba Mechitzos because Arba Mechitzos, if it's not Arba Mechitzos Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Sarati Uplati is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, everything else is a Karmelis, Makom Ptur, right? But according to the Rambam, the negation of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So how do you get a karma? How do you get something that's in between?
I feel like what I'm going to say is just going to be what the Ritva says, or Ritva Rashi, Rimigash, etc. But I think if there's a difference between Makum She'ein HaRav endorsing Bo, when they otherwise would have been Dorsim Bo, and when they would not have otherwise been Dorsim Bo. So a Carmelist, no one would have been Doris Bo anyway. But whereas a Rosh Hashanah Yachid sort of stops people from being Doris Bo.
Okay.
That sounds more like the people on the left than the Rambam.
It's a good direction. Like over here we have, let's say, Sarabin. And over here you have Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And we have different criteria. And over here, we just seem to have a negation. It's either Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. And the answer is going to be, is that in a Hanami, that you don't have, oh, well, if it's not this and it's not this, then it's going to be everything else. But, The Rambam has the following. Okay, Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah are negations of each other. Rosh Hashanah is defined as being the makom she'in harab in Dorsin Bo. First, you have to tell. First, everything like by default is Rosh Hashanah, right? The world is one big empty open place that everyone can use. Okay, what's the problem? The problem is that some places are not right. Some places are not open to the public. And number two is not every place is that's not open to the public is convenient to you. Okay? So what happens is that you have things which have characteristics of both. And this is exactly what Rambam says about the Bikka and the Yam. Right? And remember the Tshuva of Rambam, when he's trying to explain why the Rambam thinks that Midbar is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So he said, so the guy asking him says, okay, then why not the Bikka and why not the Yam? And the Rambam answers back that the Yam, when the Rambam answers, when it comes to the Yam, you need a boat in order to use the ocean, right? So in a Hanami, you're allowed to use it, right? But practically, you can't, okay? This tail is physically offset, right? The ocean is, it's there. You could use it. There's nothing stopping you except for the fact that practically, you can't use it. Right? So on the one hand, it says some of the Hagdaros of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but some of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay? It's something that falls in between. It's not that, oh, you have Hagdara A, Hagdara B, and then things that fall in the middle. Right? You only have these two poles, right? But things can fall, can be more similar to one than the other. Got that? Or did it froze again? Say that again? I can't hear you guys. No, can you?
What? We can hear you.
That's back. Okay, just very quickly, right? As opposed to here, you have a definition of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, a definition of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then you have things that just don't fit either definition, right? The Rambam says the definition of Rosh Hashanah Yachid is the negation of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but not every negation is a complete negation, right? Some negation, right? This, here's your negation symbol. But here is your hyphenation symbol, right? So half or flattened out negation is just a hyphenation, right? A carmelis is essentially a hyphenation of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Because you're right that only the two of them, right? One is the negation of the other, but if it's only a partial negation, you end up with a carmelis, right? The Yam and the Bikka are something that's not quite either, okay? It's not quite Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's not quite Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay, so the carmelis, right, is the partial negation. And therefore,
in combination. Versus Rabin versus the Yachid. Yeah, look here, the Karmelis is anything that fits, that doesn't have either positive definition. Okay, so sum up, right? Rishus HaYachid can either be a makom nifrad, it can be a place that's offset from everywhere else, right? Or it can be a place with mechitzos, right? If you say it needs to be mukav mechitzos, then I understand it's much more about private property. It's already, the ritual says explicitly, like Ari, that it's a bias, it's a house. And then anything that's not Rishus HaYachid, not Rishus Rabim is going to be a karmelis, because both of them have some sort of positive definition. On the other hand, you could say a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, a Rosh Hashanah Yachid is a place that's mufrad from the Rabbim. It's a place that's separated from the Rabbim, defended, according to the Tosfos and the Rashba, it's something with barriers that keep the Rabbim out. According to the Meiri and the Rambam, it's more that they're just a place that's inconvenient or inaccessible, right? It's not quite the existence of barriers as much as their inaccessibility, even though we do have formal criteria for those. And then, I think for the Rambam, when the Rambam says, oh, everything basically is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, right? Amidbar, the world, in the beginning, the world was Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, right? But then you have stuff that's offset from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the Rabbim can't go, that's Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And then there are things which fall in the middle, which have characteristics of both, that's partially accessible, so that's something that falls in between. And then, interestingly, you can start arguing that maybe, when it comes to a Karmelis, we should be, let's say, more machmir, because it's partially Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's partially Rosh Hashanah Yachid, right? As opposed to here, where a karmelis is really just, it's nothing, right? It's really nothing. You know, okay, midrabanan over goes there, but fundamentally it's nothing. While over here, it's not that karmelis is fundamentally nothing. Karmelis is fundamentally a hybridization of the two rishuyos, and therefore, you might want to be more, you know, more machmir in terms of how we conceive of a karmelis. Just final point is that the Tosefta, right, how did it introduce us to Rishios of Shabbos? Didn't remember? The Tosefta really just listed Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. If you remember the Tosefta says, oh, you know, there's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, oh, there are Rishios. The way that Saul Lieberman reads the Tosefta is that it's a Shtayim Shein Arba, two cases of Rosh Hashanah Yachid and two cases of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and the Tosefta is only counting Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah. There's a different way to read the Tosefta, but according to that read, it's actually beautiful with the Rambam, that fundamentally there are really only two existing Roshuyos, Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then you have cases which, you know, which combine the two. But fundamentally, it's only, what's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Anything that's open to people. What's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid? A place that is, you know, that is the negation thereof. Okay, Yishukach. So next year we're going to continue in terms of, like, you know, applying this concept of is it mukav mechitzos or is it a makom mufrad, and the idea of, you know, does it have to be a house? You know, how much do we really want it to be a house, and how, what does it mean for it to be a makom mufrad? Yishukach.